Recovery 101, yeah, with your hosts Bruce, Shelley, and Mark. They want to talk with you, joke with you, and tell you the facts. They want to see you in recovery, working those steps. So when you're through, they want to chat with you. Put down the jack in the crack and take a step on back and go to a meeting and keep coming back. And then tune to recovery101.net. And when you're through, they want to joke with you.
Thank you to Courtney for our marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AA, NAOACAGAPASLASLAACRRMMDRAHAFA.
AMO.
USC.
The alphabet soup of recovery.
Yes. Welcome to Recovery 101, where the views and opinions are ours and ours alone because no one else would have them. My name is Bruce B. As always with
Shelly.
And Mark.
Sweet.
Dude.
So, Shelly.
What?
What's going on with you today? Or any day? Or what's coming up? What gives?
Well, we have a new installation at the house. It's called Sanford and Sons. Because our entire house looks like a freaking yard sale. Because we had a yard sale. We had a yard sale yesterday. And I was expecting the yard sale to then afterwards be, we're going to clean this up. No. Bruce wanted to do it again this morning while I was at church.
How'd that work out?
I decided against that.
Yeah.
What made you decide against that?
Because I was too tired.
Okay.
And plus, I couldn't, we actually carried the tables with the stuff on it in the driveway and on the porch. And we're thinking about having another one Saturday, and I'm like, yeah, you know, I'll leave it there for a week.
But you can't actually do that. It's against code, and somebody's going to
No one's going to do anything.
Yeah, you will just wait.
I will wait, and then I can tell you next time how nothing happened.
Well, in the meantime, our house seriously looks like a junk shop. That's why I say Sanford and Sons.
I walked up, I was looking around, and Shelly looked at me. She goes, we're moving.
And I was totally deadpan.
She was. And I'm like, oh.
Where?
Compton?
No, I think I said like possibly Arizona.
What is the theme song for that? Is like ow. Is that it?
Sure.
For Sanford and Sons?
We'll go with that.
Yeah, I think so.
Ow.
No wait. Yeah, I think so.
I have no idea.
Or that might be Barney Miller.
Barney Miller had a really weird music.
Jazzy kind of thing. Anyway, this is really riveting, I'm sure, for the listener.
They're loving it. So, Mark, how's your thing in Santa Monica? Where is it? The new biz, the new place, the new
Long Beach.
Oh, in Long Beach. Is it like down near the water and stuff? Is it like, I know it's got to be a good location.
Yeah, it's right in the heart of downtown Long Beach, about 2 blocks off Ocean Avenue.
Nice. How's that going?
Coming along.
Now, are we in, because I don't know exactly where you are. Are you secured the lease? Are you guys in planning mode? What's going on?
The lease is signed, and we are turning that in this week. We're turning it in this week, the day after we get the letter from the bank confirming our SBA loan.
Yes.
And, then hopefully we're in construction. We start construction in about 45 days. We're open the end of October.
So if you're planning on going out near the end of October, there'll be this bitchin' self-contained winery.
Well, here's the funny thing. Yeah, it's a full production winery with a full production ass-kicking bistro in it. So, and also a superb patio on the side that I can close off for
cigar events.
Yes. I've already got people in the program. We've started having discussions about cigar events.
And, you know, and the thing is people say, oh my God, it's a winery. You know what? It even says in the big book, you know, you can go around where alcohol is served without fear. if you're working program.
Yeah.
Check your motives.
That's right.
That's what my sponsor said.
Well, we went. We,
you can come in. You can come into my winery. You can tell anybody in there you want that you're an alcoholic, and they will not serve you.
They'll serve you something else. They'll serve you bistro food.
That's right.
Awesome. I have been scouting locations out in Upland along the Foothill Corridor.
I know.
I think I've got a couple pretty good ones. And we shall see. We shall see where that goes.
Turn me loose, boss.
Yes,
I'll go get him.
You know what that means?
What's that mean?
Well, it's time for the boozy news, and the news not fit for booze.
Okay, my butt got stuck on a giant bag of pillows. I know that's a really weird sentence.
Her pillow got stuck on a bunch of pillows.
A bunch of those pillows from Bruce's store were brought over here in a giant bag, and they're kind of blocking the road here.
They're blocking the studio right now.
Yeah. Okay. Let me do the shout-outs.
We got out of the beginning here. Quick.
Yeah.
We have shout-outs to Bill, Dan, Stryker, Jack, Jane, Lynn, Johnny, Alexandria, Clarissa, Lee, The Other Mark, M, Fran, Mitch, Susan, Sally, Dakota, Georgette, Randy, and Roger.
All right.
And some kind of shout out to Alan.
And Alan Bilski, yes, that we talked about on the show last time. Next week, hopefully, I'll remember to get his business phone number. But you can find him on Facebook, Bilsky, if you need IT stuff, because he is a master of
in New
IT
York.
In New York, in the New York area, New York City area, which encompasses quite a bit.
New York City.
Get a rope.
Yeah, that's it's a pretty big area. You know what's strange, though? I was watching a thing, because one of our biggest downloading cities in the world is Guangzhou, China. Dude, 13 million people in Guangzhou.
That's a small town in China.
It is, because I was thinking about how big that is compared to here.
Yeah.
And Beijing's like 21 million, and there was Shanghai is like 23 million.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, that in three cities, it's, you know, it's 50 million, 60 million people.
Recovery 101. We're badass enough to break through the Great Firewall of China.
We are. They hear the Great Firewall of China, yet people seem to have no problem hitting it from there. So, if you're in China and you're a business and you want to be advertised, you can be a business patron at Patreon. We forgot to mention Patreon.
Oh yes, Patreon.
You can join. You can be a patron of ours for as low as $1 a month, and help us get the word, our Rule 62 version of the word, out to the world.
You get extra swag. You get exclusive content that will not be on the Podomatic site.
Plus, if people need a meeting and they can't get to one, they could just listen to the show.
Hell yeah!
No.
It's a meeting.
Really?
Two or three are gathered together.
Well, what if I needed a meeting? What
just
would I
because,
do?
Just because they're bucking in does not mean it's a meeting.
Shelly?
If you need a meeting, what would I do? You need to turn this crap off and go to a meeting.
You know what? I should change.
You can listen to it on the way.
I should change the name of that initial contribution to the Seventh Tradition.
No, you can't.
Why?
Because that's a violation of traditions. Outside entity.
I don't think so.
It's just a term for giving money.
Yeah.
No, it's not. It's specific to 12-step recovery.
The seventh and a half tradition.
Oh, for crap's sake. We are going to hell in a
wait,
periwinkle.
Does that get us around?
Shelly, don't you want to be with your friends?
I am with my friends, and look how far it's gotten
me.
But
no, but you say, oh, we're going to hell. Like,
we're going to hell in a periwinkle handbasket.
But I keep saying that. Your friends will all be there.
They'll have a bar stool
with your name on it.
That's true.
You're going to hell in a, what was that name of that one? Turd something?
Yeah. Turdly?
Yeah.
Turdly basket.
Yeah, that doesn't work. Yeah. That doesn't work. Okay, Bill sent this story in. It's kind of scary. There is a deadly and drug-resistant superbug that is now spreading throughout hospitals in New York City. Watch out, Alan.
Uh-oh.
It's called Candida auris.
Is there a layman's name for that?
You know what? It's not in the story. There's got to be, but it's just Candida auris.
deadly stuff.
Skin rash.
It's kind of is. It's a fungal infection. It's resistant to treatments. It typically hits people that have chronic illnesses that are frequently in the hospital. Because it's only been in hospitals so far. It hasn't spread to the general population yet.
Okay.
However, of the 57 cases that have happened in New York hospitals in the last year, 20 of them have died from this fungal infection.
That's because 40%
death
rate.
If it's resistant and they can't either treat it, if they can't cure it, and it won't be put into remission or stasis or whatever by the treatments, then people are dying from this. So you need to take precautions not to end up in the hospital in New York, please. Especially you, Alan.
Is it only New York?
Only New York City. There was one hospital, New Hampshire, that it jumped out to, but it was one case, I think.
Yikes.
But, you know, what's in one hospital, doctors don't stay in one hospital. They move around, which is how it ended up in all the New York hospitals. So I'm sure it can jump other places, too. So there's our PSA for the week. Now, this next story, I found this one. This interested me because I am not sure how I feel about this. This is out of Mobile, Alabama and the environs. Mobile, Alabama.
Yeah, relatives down there.
A woman
scary
named
ones.
Barbara Harris is the owner and founder of a nonprofit organization called Project Prevention. She owns basically a van.
Down by the river?
No, it's all over the place. And she drives around to depressed areas where there are a lot of addicts and alcoholics hanging out and offers cash incentives to drug addicts to get on permanent birth control.
Okay.
For women, it's an IUD or having their tubes tied, and for men, it's a vasectomy.
Okay.
The addicts, she does not do the procedures. What they do is she hands them...
Because if she did them in the van, that would be weird.
That would be weird.
Yeah.
She gives them a form that's like basically a release form from the doctor. When she takes gets the permanent birth control, the doctor just signs the voucher that says, yes, this person has been sterilized
is on permanent
birth control.
This sounds like... And I can't remember what the woman's name, the one who originally came up with Planned Parenthood.
Yeah. Margaret Sanger?
Yeah, who was a member of the KKK, who, that's why so many Planned Parenthoods are in inner cities. It almost sounds like that as a version of a way to start getting rid of drug addicts, you know, because we know that it is genetically predisposed.
No, that doesn't have anything to do with her reasoning. After they get the form signed by the doctor, they take it back to Harris, and she gives them $300, and they pay for their surgery, and they get $300.
So if I'm a doctor and I want to make myself an extra couple hundred bucks, I work out a deal with a bunch of people, sign a bunch of forms.
Well,
and I get paid for surgeries I never did.
She founded the organization because she was she's a NICU nurse. She retired.
She got tired of addicted babies coming in?
Exactly. She said, I'm quoting her here, the women made a choice to use drugs. The children did not make that choice. The people who come out the loudest are not willing to adopt these children. They want to campaign for women's right to keep procreating, but if you ask them to adopt a drug-addicted baby, no, they won't. And so that's her raison d'etre. And I thought that was interesting because I'm not sure how I feel about that.
I'm not sure how I feel about it either.
Because on the one hand, I'm like... Yeah, that kind of makes sense. There are a lot of women that have, they already have kids and they're addicted to drugs and they're giving birth to more drug addicted babies. And it's heartbreaking for the nurses in those facilities because sometimes those babies die.
On the other hand, you can't exactly say these people are making a clear and informed decision.
Yeah, they're drug addicts and you're offering them $300.
Yeah. I get loaded for a bit on that.
Yeah. I can think of many people in the throes of addiction that would take that option and then later on really regret it.
Well, if the women do, they have two options. They can do IUD or have their tubes tied. If they choose the IUD option, if they get clean, they can have the IUD removed and have children again.
Yeah, and see, that's okay. I don't have any problem with that. I'm just thinking that dope fiends will take money for almost any reason.
That's right.
Now, the guys, they're talking about vasectomy, right?
Yes. Most of her clients are women, though.
Which I know is somewhat reversible, but still.
I don't know. Well, anyway.
I don't know.
I put that information out there. Our listeners can chime in with their opinions.
I have relatives in Alabama with names like Aunt Bubba. Lucy Bell. Well, not aunt. Great aunt
Lucy Bell.
Isn't that
where they invented the actual toothbrush?
Uncle Elmer. Yeah, toothbrush. Operative word. Yeah. Otherwise, they would have called it the teeth brush.
The teeth brush, yeah. In Riverdale, Utah, we got a Mother of the Year candidate here. 39-year-old, and her name is not... Oh, and it's Tori Lee Castillo.
Tori Lee?
Huh? Tori Lee Castillo.
Three names.
But she's a Mother of the Year candidate.
She's the Mother of the Year candidate, and that's I'm saying that with much sarcasm.
Oh, ew.
Because witnesses heard loud noises and thumps coming from the trunk of the car that she had just locked up.
No way.
There was a 2-year-old and a 5-year-old locked in the trunk. The older child was sitting in the car.
What the F?
Waiting. The oldest child, she had pulled into a Walmart parking lot and did not want to deal with her fractious children, so she locked him in the trunk.
At this time of year?
Yeah, that's really dangerous.
The sun, that would have heated up like amazingly fast.
Yeah.
Shoot a bottle of water.
So, Pat, witnesses got the older child to pull the emergency latch and get the kids out of the trunk and then called 911 and waited for the police so that she was arrested when she came out to go back to and get her pop the trunk on her kids.
Gonna pop the trunk.
And she was arrested on charges of child abuse. And
don't make me pop the trunk.
Well, state child welfare was contacted and the children were turned over to another family member. Yeah.
Damn.
Oh. Okay, y'all, we're pulling into Walmart. If you don't shut up right now, you're going in the trunk. I don't want to go in the trunk. I'm going to heap started about. Yeah, you're going in the trunk.
Wow. So deadly dangerous.
I know. I read that and I was like, are you kidding me? They could have been dead by the time you got out.
How old was the kid in the
Didn't say.
Car?
But I'm guessing.
Because I'm going to say, if I'm the kid in the car.
I'm being good.
I'm popping the
First
trunk.
First of all, I'm being good.
I'm popping the trunk anyway. Then I'm calling someone to call
the
cops.
Now you're in the trunk for the rest of the day.
No, because I'm calling the cops.
I'm guessing based on the age spread of the younger two, maybe 7 or 8.
7 or 8, man, is old enough for me to think I need to get the kids out of the trunk.
I would too.
Maybe the older one didn't like the younger one so much.
Also the possibility that the older one didn't know how to pop the trunk.
At 8?
I don't know that I would have known. Of course, we didn't have trunk latches when I was that age, so I wouldn't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
Of course, when we were that age, it was perfectly fine to leave us in the car while you went into the store.
Yeah. Okay,
yeah,
let's see.
But our moms weren't stupid. They would roll down the window or something.
We used to lay under the back window in the on the thing behind
on the back dash.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay,
that was
now,
the prime spot.
Yes, it was, because we didn't have to have seatbelts back then.
That's right.
You could ride around in the back of a pickup truck.
Yep.
And we'd fight for the wheel well seat.
That's right. The one that's going to fly out first. If
yes.
You hit a big
I got bounced out of a truck one time. Didn't get hurt, amazingly enough, but yes.
That's because little kids are made of rubber.
We hit a bump, and where'd Bruce go?
Landed on your head, fortunately, so it didn't hurt.
No, that's what happened.
Yeah. Explains a lot. Now, I copied this next story because it looks weird, and I don't know what it is. So if anybody out there does know what it is, or perhaps you two know what it is, you can tell me that.
If we don't know, we'll make it up.
All right. There is something.
We'll come up with something.
There's something that gets attached to a gun called a tactical sack.
Okay.
It's called a tack sack.
Piper will know.
I don't know what it does. And even when I read the article, I couldn't figure out what it does. However, one gun manufacturer has taken the tactical sack to a whole new level.
It's got an extra set of balls in it.
It's called the testicle sack.
See?
They actually call it gunsticles. And it's literally a rubber ball sack on you attach it to your gun somehow, and I don't know what it's supposed to do, and I need to know.
Gives you an extra set of balls.
If you go to gunsticles.com, you can look it up and try and explain this to me, because I don't know what it's supposed to do.
Give you an extra set of balls.
It's a hitman thing. So when you stick the gun down somebody's mouth, the sack hits them in the throat, in the chin.
It's a teabag attachment.
That's far enough.
It's a teabag attachment.
It says it's the perfect accessory for the gun enthusiast. It includes a rail mount, a magnificent gunsticle scrotum, attachment ring, heat-resistant nylon screw set, and you can mount the gunsticles to a rail without damaging the cosmetic finish. They come in tactical black or dark earth colors. It says they are the perfect size to make a lasting impression. They're also impact resistant.
If Chuck Norris had one, it'd be a potato sackstickle.
And I don't know what that is, so somebody needs to tell me. Because I feel like I'm missing out on something here. It's
giving you more balls.
Balls. It's an accessory.
Well, all right then. Okay, next up we have...
Makes it hard to draw it out of the holster, though.
Out of the UK.
Fuck.
In Exeter. The Beer Cellar, a bar in Exeter. Several of their staff members got a little bit tired of being sexually harassed by their male customers. So they got permission to put up a sign. The sign says... There's a pie chart, and the pie chart is all colored in black. And then there's two entries, and only one of them has a check mark next to it with its, where it's all black. The pie chart is accompanied by these two categories of the question, why the cashier is being nice to you. The first category is, she's uncontrollably sexually attracted to you.
Clearly. Or... That's it. Every guy right now is saying that. That's what it is.
Yeah. Or, because that's literally her fucking job, you cretin. And that one is the entire pie chart. Now, interestingly enough, most of the customers think it's hilarious and their business has actually increased since they put up the sign. The ones who didn't like it are the regular male customers, their regular barflies, who probably still have it stuck in their heads that somehow this barmaid is magnetically attracted to them.
And that's warm for their form.
And yes. And of course, the pie chart, it's a sliver. That she's actually attracted to that.
No, there's no sliver. This is literally her fucking job.
You know what? There should be a sliver because there's that really hot guy that goes in there that she is attracted to.
Yeah, but every guy thinks it's him.
Yes. Yes. But I thought that was funny.
But like one or two of those guys would be right.
Having worked in retail, I feel her pain. Because just because she works in a bar doesn't mean that women in other retail businesses don't get the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And finally, in Lakeland, Florida, we have our obligatory weekly naked
Florida!
Person. Oh, yes, Florida, sorry. Is there our weekly naked man? This one was carrying a 5-gallon bucket, stark naked. He stole a $25,000 swan statue from in front of a business last week.
Naked?
Naked. The surveillance footage from the camera shows the suspect trying to break into Lakeland Cold Storage, was unable to break in, saw the black and white swan statue out in front of the business. I don't know why it still doesn't say why he was carrying a 5-gallon bucket. It really, and that I need to know that.
He had his tactical sack in there.
Yeah.
He had his tactical. Polk County Sheriff's Office.
Because he had extra balls to do that.
If the Polk County Sheriff's Office could please write in and let me know why he was carrying the 5-gallon bucket, because it's really bugging me. I don't know why he was carrying the damn bucket. However, he also found the keys.
Maybe he's carrying a tune in it.
He also found the keys to one of the company trucks. So he loaded the swan into the truck and attempted to drive away.
Why is it only attempted to drive away? Because you got keys, you can go.
Yeah, he was quickly arrested and charged with grand theft.
He drove away for a short time.
Grand theft of a swan?
Grand theft of a motor vehicle on suspicion of, can we all say it together? Drunk driving.
Oh, well, yeah.
With a swan.
Why? Why do the drunk people always get naked?
That I don't know.
It's a tequila thing.
Tequila makes her clothes fall off?
Now, here's the really weird part. Not that that wasn't really weird to begin with.
There's something that makes this weird now?
The swan went missing. It was in the freaking truck with the guy, with the naked guy. But now they can't find the swan. And the sheriff's office is now searching for the swan. It was a statue. It wasn't a real swan.
Well, of course it wasn't a real swan. So, it was a statue of a swan.
So what happened to the swan? Inquiring minds want to know.
Mark's already looking it up. I don't know.
No, I think he got a text. I heard the whew whew on his text thing. Yeah. And that, my excellent friends, is the end of the boozy news.
Recovery 101.
I came this close to getting the Surgeon General of the United States to say, you're listening to Recovery 101. He goes, I really can't endorse anything. He goes, but let me go listen to it first. I said, no, don't do that.
Yeah, don't do that.
So we're back.
We are. What's up, Bruce?
And Shelly just turned down boxes of books.
If things get weird, it's because Bruce is having a low blood sugar.
Well, you know what that tells me when she turns down boxes of books? That says, I remember when Shelly said, I will never not do books because I need the feel of the paper in my hand. That's before she started doing 99% audiobooks.
No, I do. I have print and audio.
Kindle.
How often do you read, physically read a book, Shelly, now compared to listen to an audiobook?
About 70-30, but actually that's not accurate because
that's totally not accurate.
No, it's not accurate because a lot of times I get the audiobook, you get the print version as well, like for a buck, and you can do WhisperSoft and go back, or WhisperSync and go back and forth between the print and the audio.
Oh.
Which I've done several times, and I actually really enjoy that because sometimes I just want to read the book quietly, but then I've got housework to do and I don't want to put the book down. So then you just switch over to the audio and you can keep
Shelly,
listen while you work. What?
When you say the print version,
uh-huh,
you mean the Kindle print version.
Yes.
Which is not a print version at all.
Yeah, it is. It's printed on my screen.
Oh, that is still digital.
Dude, I am saving the environment like you have no idea.
Oh, no, I know. I'm just hearkening back.
And I still,
to when
I
you said
you,
it would never replace the print book.
I will have you know, I currently have two books that I'm reading, actual paper books, sitting out there on my craft table right now.
Because I've never seen you, I haven't seen you read a regular book in months and months and months and months.
Really? Because I was reading, I read two chapters out of one of them two nights ago while you were sitting on the computer.
Shelly will read a book while listening to an audiobook.
Okay, shut up. That's not our topic. My book reading habits are not our topic.
So, Mark, we have a topic.
Continued from the last show.
We're getting
with
into the
more
fellowship?
Emphasis on the fellowship and less emphasis on the love.
And less on the sex.
Okay, so we're moving on from 13th step to... We're moving on back from... We're getting off the love boat and getting onto the fellowship.
Yes.
Toot toot.
So...
Jelly?
What?
Fellowship.
It's important.
Shipping with fellows.
It's important.
It's important. Who's the lead out music by?
Well, actually, every time people say fellowship, I'm reminded of the passage in the book when it talks about we are like the survivors of a...
sinking ship?
A sinking ship. You know, we're all full of camaraderie and... What did they call it?
That was good.
That was it? Was
yeah,
it camaraderie. Because that's literally...
Pervade the vessel from ship to stern.
Well, that's not literally.
Something.
It's figuratively exactly what happens in meetings. We are all the survivors of our own disasters.
Yes.
And we cluster together for comfort and warmth, sure. Basically.
Yeah. That's why when I do my pitch, I always tell people, you know, you need to be in these rooms because we're the only people who understand how you felt the day before the first day you came in.
That is true.
We're the only ones who know how you felt that day.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of, especially recently, seen a lot of posts on social media with people talking about how I don't have time for, if you're going to be addicted to something, you're going to behave like that, you know, I don't want you in my family. I saw one post about a woman talking about how she literally kicked her 16-year-old out of the house because she found out he was doing meth. And everyone applauded her.
Tough love?
And no, she disowned him.
Okay.
That's tough love.
On the one hand, that might actually help him get sober. But on the other hand, all of the comments underneath her post were evidence of the fact that, really, you're right, Mark, no one except for an addict understands us.
Mm-hmm.
because they had no concept. Almost everybody had some version, had some variation on the theme. If they really wanted to stop, they would. They just need willpower.
Sure.
They just need to try harder. They need to go to church. They need to, you know.
Well, really? They certainly needed to try harder. Yeah.
We just did willing power.
Yeah, but and that's because they don't understand. And I don't expect anybody to understand outside the group. I don't expect anybody to understand how excited we get over the fact that we stopped doing something. We're applauding each other for not doing something.
Isn't it a weird thing in fellowship? Yeah. Your entire life, you're taught, you know, to get accolades.
To achieve.
You have to do really well. At and
gotta work
hard. In AACA, NA, you need to stop doing something to get accolades. It's like the weirdest thing ever. It's like, but we are made for people that want to achieve by being lazy in a way. Don't do anything.
I don't think so.
And you get accolades.
I don't think so.
Well, you know what I'm talking about, though. I mean, obviously you have to do program things, but it's like by not drinking or using,
programs,
you're getting something.
Programs work.
Sort of. I mean, yeah.
What? Okay, he's having a low blood sugar. Let's keep that in mind.
Yeah, okay.
I still stand by that it's one of the only places in the world where you can get accolades by not doing something, which means by not getting loaded, you stay sober longer. The longer you stay sober, the more people seem to like you. It's weird.
And the rest of the world looks at that and says, well, I didn't drink for like the last 6 months. Do I get a cake?
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, yeah.
But
then again, if you don't follow the law, you get rewarded with free room and board.
That's true.
True.
I'm having Carnation Instant Breakfast, which, by the way, is freaking fantastic. I love that.
That's how low he is.
You can have it. You know why? Sugar-free.
Milk.
Oh, milk? Milk's a no-no?
Milk, no-no.
Yeah, that's a problem. So, Shelly.
Yeah.
Or so, Mark.
Yeah.
Because I already went to you once, right, Shelly?
Yeah.
So, Mark, fellowship, how important is it?
I think that, you know, the reason this kind of came over from the last show is we kind of touched on, you know, I talked about when I was in and you know, the amazing part, you know, I told the story about the woman sponsor came and told me stay away from her, leave her alone, the whole thing about. But like I said, I just spoke with her last week. We are really good friends, you know. And Bruce, I have no idea where your lighter is.
I don't know where my torch went.
Okay. Well, I don't have it either.
So but you have fire.
Yeah. So, you know, it's like, and I look at the people that I am still really good friends with in this program. And how many of them I came in with around the same time they showed up. You know, we all showed up around the same time.
The group of people that you know has a stunningly high long-term rate.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's a bunch of us with, you know, 30 years, right around that 30-year mark that were together at the beginning and are still there. And, but fellowship was so important.
Yeah.
In the early days of the program. We literally, and it's funny because you've had a lot of those people come speak at the Thursday night meeting.
Yes.
And the story's pretty much the same about when they first got there. We did everything together. You know, we got together. We went to meetings. We went to
dinner. Well, and you fellowshiped by going to meetings together.
Yeah.
Hey, where's the meeting tomorrow? Oh, it's over here. Everybody went there.
There was the meeting. So everybody went to the same meeting because it was the only meeting. You know?
I think that probably happens a lot in other parts of the country as well because we in Southern California and other major metropolitan areas are spoiled with the amount of meetings there are.
Yeah.
But, you know,
if you said, you know, I want to go to a meeting tonight, not tonight because today's Sunday and Sundays are sometimes a little tougher, but if you picked a Tuesday night and said, I want to go to a 7 o'clock meeting. And people said, oh, what fellowship? And you said, doesn't matter. AACANAFA. I want to go to a meeting. How many meetings at 7 o'clock do you have to choose from?
You can find them.
between all those programs.
Because, like, if you lived in an area like, say, you lived in Twin Falls, Idaho.
Yep.
Your choices are going to be limited.
I was in Findlay, Ohio. On a Thursday, I had a choice of 3 AA meetings that started between 6 p.m. and 7:30 p.m.
Well, Ohio, birthplace of Alcoholics Anonymous.
Findlay.
But still. But, you know, like if you went, say, to a random town, North Dakota, Montana.
Pretty random.
That is random.
You know?
Yeah. Well, yeah, but, and you know what's going to be most popular. AA.
Yeah.
In most parts of the country, if you can't find an AA meeting, it's because you're not really looking very hard.
Yeah, there were 2 AA meetings and a CA meeting. I didn't even bother to look at NA because I'd already found the one I was going to.
You already found it. How about you, Shelley?
I think I wanted to go back to something Mark was talking about with the whole group that all fellowship together.
Oh. Uh-huh.
There's kind of a different atmosphere now. It's been 30 years since then. Yeah. A lot of the people in that group are still, you know, have more than 30 years because they were there at the beginning and they never went out. When you guys fellowshipped, as opposed to the Love Boat thing, I think because you all came in with such a sense of urgency, I'm going to die, I have to do this right now, that kind of cuts away the chaff of, you know, who can I hook up with tonight? There was that going on too, but at the same time, you guys were all in it together in that one clump. Yep. And so you all fellowship together. So you did things. It was more if the group stays together as a whole rather than pairing off all the time like we do now, there's more transparency. You all knew what everybody else was doing. So if somebody was messing up, it got corrected really fast, you know, and you guys called each other on it. So that is the core of what the fellowship should be. Mm-hmm. Now it's that sense of urgency is not there anymore. Because a lot of the people that are coming in are not on their deathbed. They were sent by a judge, a parent, or whatever. Or they had a really bad weekend and it scared them, so they thought that, oh, I must need this, and they come in. Yeah. They may or may not. But the urgency isn't there, so there's no real... They still have cars, jobs, lives, you know, girlfriends, families to go. They still have all the stuff.
Yeah.
So they come into the meeting, and then they go home into their regular lives. Yeah. So there's no... clumping.
Yeah.
We don't all clump together anymore.
Yeah, this was our life.
And what happened when someone didn't see you at a meeting?
Oh, my God. Yeah. The first time, I mean, after I went to meetings every night, I just, about 3 weeks in, decided one night just not to go.
Did you get a call?
I got 4 or 5 calls.
Yep.
And that was before cell phones were prevalent. So literally it was 20 minutes after the meeting ended, I started getting phone calls.
Well, you know what? I miss... the fellowship part, you know, and I'm only got 10 years. That's how fast it's changed. Mm-hmm. Because 10 years ago, there were 15 or 20 of us going to coffee every Tuesday and Thursday. We haven't done a meeting after coffee after meeting in a year.
Yeah. You know, because it's, I mean, I looked at this and part of it now, though, is the program. Because, you know, we talked a couple years ago about there wasn't a lot of sharing about people are freaking dying out there. You know?
Yeah.
You're going to die. Go ahead and go back out. You're going to die. You know what the problem is now? I can't even share that with a straight face in the rooms anymore. You know why? Because they're probably not anytime soon. Because they came in really early. Which I guess is okay.
You know, it's one of those things where, and we've talked about this, kind of how the program opinion of it is. It's ironic because we will say, you know, we're telling you these stories so that you don't have to hit the horrible bottoms we hit.
Yeah.
And at the same time, knowing that if you don't hit a horrible enough bottom, you're not going to stay.
Right.
And there are an awful lot of people right now because recovery itself has become such a huge industry. I was reading an article the other day about a guy, and I've forgotten his name, but if I said his name, you guys would probably go, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He was arrested. He's going to be put on trial for various things, including tax fraud and sexual harassment. I mean, the laundry list of charges is incredible. Mm-hmm. He owns a string of recovery centers around California. And he was employing people that they called body brokers to go into, you know, crack houses and alleyways and stuff, and literally drag people into these places to get them to sign up for insurance.
That was a big,
so they
big,
could make
did
money.
You read all three parts of the series?
Oh my God, it took me like half an hour to read the whole article, because I got it after the three parts had already been published, so you could go to all three parts.
Yeah.
It wasn't, it was serialized.
I literally, my...
I forget his name though.
The owner of our company literally brought me the newspapers. And
it's a big, huge story in the recovery community.
It's a huge story, and it's a little bit unfair.
In some ways, I was reading the article, and in some ways, I think it is unfair.
Because it's slanted.
It is
horribly.
Slanted. But at the same time, if you look, if you read between the lines, what that tells me is there, the outside attitude toward recovery centers has changed enough that because it's a business now, and these people are commodities. Addicts are commodities.
Sure.
Because they make them, they make money. They make money for them.
That makes it tough to fellowship.
But they don't stay sober.
Right. But
they keep cycling them through.
But because, you know, I think back to the time where I really saw it change. It was when our friend Lee came and spoke at the Thursday meeting and all the patients were there. And they all quit coming after that because he hurt their feelings.
Yes. And the staff at the center.
He told them they were going to die.
Yes. Yeah. He told them they were going to die. That he said, and I will never forget this specifically, he said, you're sitting in a third grade classroom being talked at, and then yada, yada, yada. So you're going to die because you're not listening.
Yeah.
You're sitting here looking at the little decorations and you're not listening. And yes, I agree with his sentiment, but I also understood, you know, they got a bunch of people in here that are like, what? Because they got 3 days sober.
Well, yeah, but they got 3 days sober, but they're not sitting there listening with that third ear that I talk about.
Yeah.
You know, the they're one not. That you listen with when your life depends on it. They haven't had to use that ear yet.
No. And then the staff of the facility... Yeah. Totally signed off on them having their feelings hurt and being damaged and not wanting to go back, to the point where the facility encouraged a couple of their alumni to create a meeting that competed directly with ours.
Yeah, I noticed it's not there anymore.
It's not there. We're still there, and it's not there.
Because you can't compete.
And the patients actually, I don't know if we're getting a different breed or what, but the patients actually seem to like our meeting. Pills Anonymous meeting that was opposite us lately in the last 2 years is
gone.
Now gone.
Yeah, I know. So we
because,
said. It's not there.
Because the patients would rather go to our CA meeting.
Right.
The AA meeting is gone. The
pills,
PA meeting is gone.
We're last man standing. But it's just, I think that.
It's because good people started that meeting.
That body broker thing where they keep cycling them through the recovery centers because they're making money, they don't actually get exposed much to the outside recovery world. So
the fellowship.
And yes, and but the problem is, if they do get exposed to it, how much fellowship is left? Because I know that there are morning meetings that go to breakfast after their meetings and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But most of the time it's, I got to work early. Oh, no, my kid's waiting for me. Oh, I got this. Oh, I got that.
Well, I'm gonna bring something up that came up in the article, and this is not political, it's factual.
Okay, what?
With the implementation of Obamacare and being able to immediately sign up for health insurance when you had a change in circumstance, like moving to a new place, you could bring people from another state into California and immediately the facility could sign them up for health insurance. The facility could front the money for their premium and then the facility gets paid for what goes on.
Yep.
And one of the insurance companies started sending out paperwork making them prove that the facility didn't pay the premium, and immediately they discharged all the patients.
Wow.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. That's there are people flying into because California is the largest recovery. California and Florida have the two largest recovery centers.
Yeah. Our topic just made a big left-hand turn, but
it did. But
it's a current event.
But it made a left-hand turn.
I tried
turn
to throw
because,
the word in fellowship several times.
No, it made the left-hand turn because something one of you said reminded me of that article, because these people are not being people that aren't exposed, that need it, that need recovery, that aren't being exposed to the fellowship as well as. Yeah. The meetings,
right?
They don't develop the kind of clumping, the kind of grouping that you guys had in the beginning, that I had 10 years ago, that is no longer there.
Right. Well, first off,
I don't have a fellowship anymore. I have a meeting.
we were all drones, and there was always, not necessarily female, but there was always the queen, a queen bee. There was always somebody who had the time and the experience. And for a long time, it was the two of you. And it was you, Bruce, more than anybody.
Bruce was the ringleader.
If you, you know, if you were going somewhere, everybody else was going there.
Yes. And people started asking me if he was going.
And I don't know what happened to that, because you know what's funny? We continued to go.
Yeah, but you kept changing locations.
We changed locations.
Three times.
Once.
Twice.
Okay, twice. But
and because when I'll Starbucks...
And the place you go now, I don't come there because you can't hear.
Oh, I've gotten really good at demanding they turn down the music.
You know.
Well, and you could always...
You couldn't. We tried
further down the side.
We tried. We got all off. We got all the way out of the light.
Well,
the light.
The problem is
it was very dark.
The problem is in program, we end up with smokers. Can't smoke at Starbucks. Starbucks was always the go-to. That was the. I always wonder how many customers.
Well, it's no longer there
from recovery it's, that they
that
lost.
Starbucks is no longer there, and we are.
Well, there's another drive-thru. There's another well,
that
Starbucks.
That one's been there.
No, but they closed that
they,
one to
they
open
closed that
drive-thru.
One to open another one.
Oh.
There's
it's
a,
like
100 there's
yards
a,
away.
Okay.
There's one. They've got a huge patio.
Yeah.
It's got plenty of big patio, but you yeah. can't smoke. So, you know, and what we've run into lately is from our Tuesday night meeting, we didn't get anybody from recovery facilities in there. That was all people that were just going to the Ilano Club.
Yeah. Right.
All people that could go to coffee. Now, it's like I have two sponsees from Charter that I met at Charter, and neither one of them can go to coffee yet, you know, because they've got curfew and all that. So it's like, you know, we got to take them back in time. You know, we get out of the meeting at 9. We get to the parking lot, get out of there at 9:30. Mm-hmm. They got to be back by 10.
I mean, 30 years ago, we'd go to Denny's. And you
but
had
you
to
could
go,
smoke in Denny's
no,
and you could drink coffee
No, right when
in
they
Denny's.
Stopped that. And you had to go outside to have a cigarette. And people, we still all met. We sat there. We had coffee. We talked. And we somebody, you know, groups of a couple people at a time, we get to go outside and have a smoke.
And, yeah, because when I was sober, we were going to Caro's and you could smoke inside.
Yeah, for a while, but then it stopped.
Yeah, it stopped. Well, it stopped about when Starbucks became popular and you could smoke there.
Well, and some of the people at the Five would go over to Castro's family restaurant because they have the big patio where you could smoke, but now you can't.
Yeah.
So nobody goes over there anymore. But the last time I was down at the 502 Club and we got out of a meeting, we'd gone to hear our friend Paul speak. We get out of the meeting. Nobody's talking about going to anything. Everybody was just getting in their cars to leave. It was like there was no, and that's kind of a larger meeting. There's no talk of fellowship, no talk of let's hang out, no talk of, you know, and CA still tries to do the events, even though the attendance is down.
Yeah. But
they haven't had a rock and roll in years.
They try to do too much.
Yeah, they did a lot.
Have a dance.
I want to do
it at
the Thursday
prototypes.
Meeting. What?
Do it at prototypes.
When I want to have a... we did it once, like, years ago, and it was... Or no, that was at my Women's NA meeting. But it was really popular, and it actually fleshed out the meeting for a while.
A potluck?
Yes, I want to have an after-meeting potluck at the Thursday meeting. Because the facility... When we asked, the facility didn't care if we were there for an extra half hour or so.
Yeah.
So
tell me, we want the gym to do a dance.
I wonder how much that would cost.
Tell me, we want the gym to have a dance.
I know.
But yeah, probably wouldn't cost. Probably wouldn't cost anything.
Yeah, we want the gym. Dance. We'll pay the janitorial cost and give you 40% of the gate.
Yeah. Well, somebody's got to do something, and usually,
well, it looks like we got two volunteers for the dance committee at Charter.
Well, the thing is, when people say,
you
well, somebody
I'm
should
not
do,
one of those two.
Somebody should do XYZ, you have to stop and pause and say, am I the one that could do that? Because there's not always a somebody. But we got to get some
there's
more fellowship.
There's always a somebody.
We got to get some more fellowship going some point.
Well, Shelley.
What?
What are your final words on fellowship
be? I guess we got to stop talking now. My final words on fellowship are, it is an integral, it's not the program, but it's an integral part of being in recovery because you need to be with people who understand you.
Mark.
My final words are my first words. It's the only place that you will find where people understand the way you felt the day before the first day you came in.
My final words, if you think that you don't have enough fellowship where you are, it's incumbent on you to help create that. So there's a cool shirt company.
That would be Terminally Unique Apparel at terminallyuniqueapparel.com. You can go and order swag and do all kinds of fun stuff. So go there and check us out.
Yes. Now, those shirts, you can also find some of those shirts at one of our other sponsors, Mark.
Yeah, that would be my 12-step store, which is a store in West Hollywood, or my 12stepstore.com, where you can go online and you can get all a plethora of recovery gifts and books and tchotchkes that are out there and available for the recovery world. So go check them out.
Yeah, they're awesome.
Go right through our site, as a matter of fact, at recovery101.net and click on the link to go through.
If you're Facebook friendly, it's really easy to join Podomatic. You will get the option to log in with Facebook. You can do that real easy. It's for free and for fun. If you are Facebook friendly, you can easily like the Recovery 101 Radio Show fan page. We put links to shows up there. If you'd like to join the secret group, you can ask at the Recovery 101 Radio Show fan page by messaging us there. You can message Shelley Burnett or Bill Piper. They will get you added to that group, and you can interact with people you hear about on the show, like Fantastic and Bill Piper and Robert and you know, a variety pack of other people. If you want to become lead out entertainment, whether it's comedy or music or something, and you're in a band and you're sober, or you know, at least a couple of the people in the band are sober, you can send us some MP3s. That's a preferred format. Send us a picture you'd like us to turn into a clickable link, and then send us a web address you'd like that clickable link to go to, whether it's YouTube or SoundCloud or Reverb Nation or Facebook or wherever, and we will do that for you for free and for fun. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Do not take yourself so damn seriously.
Shelley. So, Shelley.
Yes.
Who is the final ultimate lead out music by this evening?
Amp.
Another Misguided Prophet?
Yes.
Sweet.
Dude. Oh, sorry, I preempted your dude.
Okay, you were there.
Hey, everybody. Try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.
I just ask, can you listen? I just gotta get this off my chest. This is killing me. It's killing me.
GloryMusic.com.
I ask you to hear me out. My hands up, I'm cleaning out my closet. My life, I lost it. I'm honest, I'll tell the truth. I only need you, Lord, to see me through. Help me reach the people that need you, 'cause I know I
can,
and
your
I still do. I'm
today.
Talking to that thief, I'm talking to that liar, I'm talking to that person walking in hell and fire, I'm talking to the kids that see nothing but violence, I'm talking to that addict, problems inside them, I'm talking to you, AMP, you's a thief, you's a liar, a G, walking in hell and fire, you're an alcoholic that just knows violence, come help me Lord, my mind won't be quiet, I pray to the Lord that he keeps my soul, Lord, I know the saying, you reap what you sow, I am a sinner, I will change the day,
show me the way.
First off, I apologize to everyone. hurt in my life. Alcohol, sex, drugs. I have no excuses. That's just what it was. I hurt some of my family. I hurt some of my friends. I hurt so many women. I can't begin. I was engaged. I was the reason it ended. Pistol in my hand. My life almost ended. I seen that devil. He looked at me back. Liquor bottle in hand. I was not looking back. Thank you to DJ. Thank you to April. The Lord sent you both from heaven to come save me. Hope my words touch. Hope my words reach you. I am not perfect. I make mistakes. I'm determined to be someone different today. AMP will change his mindset and ways.
Today.
I pray to the Lord that he keeps my soul. Lord, I know the saying, you reap what you sow. I am a sinner. I will change today. I will not be who I was yesterday.
Come on.
I pray to the Lord that he keeps my soul.
Lord,
I know the saying, you reap what you sow.
Reach.
I am a sinner. I will change today. Lord, come and take me and show me the way.
Hear me?
I pray to the Lord.
Lord,
I know the saying.
Preach.
I am a sinner. I will not be who I was yesterday.
Come on.
That he keeps my soul.
Lord,
you reap what you sow.
Preach.
I will change the day. Lord, come and take me and show me the way.
That's not my whole story. It's some of it, and I hope I was able to help somebody. May God bless you.